Grace, mercy, and peace be unto all of you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand evil in the evil day, and having done all, stand firm. This is really a strange kind of soldier that Paul describes, isn't it? I mean, if this is Paul's war strategy, he would do well to keep his day job. If he were a military general, the troops under his command, according to this kind of wisdom, would certainly meet an unfortunate end. I mean, what kind of general equips his soldiers from head to toe with battle armor and then just tells them to stay put? Wouldn't a good general take the time to consider what kind of enemy he's up against and then to equip his soldiers accordingly so that they can charge forward on the offensive confidently into battle? Win the victory, right? Onward, Christian soldiers. Instead, Paul outfits the Ephesians with primarily defensive armor and says, stay put, Christian soldiers. That seems kind of foolish, unwise, cowardly even, a plan that, according to our human wisdom, is sure to fail. But, in fact, Paul, he's no fool. He has considered who the enemy is, and he's quite explicit about it. He says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but instead against spiritual forces. Our battle is spiritual. It's not against flesh and blood. You can't see it with your eyes. It's not against people or institutions, but against Satan. His lies, his temptations, his deception, all of which are incredibly subtle. And this is quite important to bear in mind for a couple reasons. I mean, first, this keeps us from viewing other people, our fellow human beings, as our enemies. People are not our enemies. I mean, sure, there are those who are maybe ignorant victims of Satan's lies, unknowingly walking in darkness and the futility of their minds, but they are not our ultimate enemies. And in the sense that they could be considered our enemies, well, then Christ tells us, pray for them. No, our battle is not against them, but against the ruler of the darkness in which they walk. The second reason this is good to keep in mind is that this reality that our battle is not against flesh and blood, it keeps us from boasting, from thinking that we are the ones who are actually winning the victory over the enemies of God. After all, if we can see our enemies, if our enemies are flesh and blood, then we could theoretically do something about them, right? This is how we are tempted to think and live. If only we could fill in the blank. If only we could end hunger and poverty. If only we could lower the divorce rate. If only we could fix the corrupt government. If only we could get prayer back in schools. If only we were a Christian nation. You know, in my day, children used to respect their parents. I mean, even if we could theoretically teach everyone on the planet how to live a squeaky clean life, even if all the governments, all the institutions of the world got along in harmony and peace, even if all the families of the world sat down every night for a nice dinner and chatted about their days, even if every lawn was perfectly manicured, even if every neighbor got along swimmingly, lending sugar and playing pinochle, none of that would tell us that the battle has been won. None of it would actually solve the real issue, which is our sin, which is a spiritual reality before it is physical one. Jesus reminds us, remember, that our sin is not first and foremost an external thing, but an internal one. It's a matter of the heart. It flows out of the wickedness of mankind's being. All of the flesh and blood battles that we see are just symptoms of a deeper disease. And Satan will do his worst to exploit the nature of our hearts and wage war, even by enlisting our old Adam that still hangs on to try to tempt us away from God's truth, to try to make us despair. All the while, making us think that as long as everything external is up to snuff, then we must be okay. Dear friends, that's perhaps one of the most wicked and deceptive lies that Satan could tell you. Because he draws our focus then to the flesh and blood things of the world and away from Christ and his promises. You see this during election years. You hear it around the coffee table, in the workroom. Can you believe, right? Fill in whatever sin has been plastered all over the TV. It seems to me that of all the people in the world, we are the ones who should be least surprised by sin. Christians. I mean, we have the truth of mankind's heart. Why in the world would we be surprised when we see the evidence of it? Well, Satan would love to get us to focus on the evidence of it, and even to maybe self-righteously declare, I cannot believe. I'm always tempted to say, well, I've looked in the mirror, have you? Of course I can believe this is happening. You see, Satan would tell you that the outcome of our battle is still yet to be determined, all dependent upon what we can see. Satan would tell you that the outcome of this battle depends upon you. Satan will throw your sin and others' sin up in your face to make you despair, to make you think that all is lost, all because you have failed. But dear friends, you know better. You have the armor of God. You know that it's not your performance which determines the outcome of the battle. No, there is only one way to determine that. It's not when everything around us looks peaceful. It's not when everyone is behaving like they should. It's not when this or that candidate takes the Oval Office. It's not when prayer is allowed back in schools. It's not when any given nation is Christian, whatever that would mean. To look to such flesh and blood evidence is precisely what Satan wants. Because that means you're not paying attention to Christ and his promises. You see, it's when Christ declares from the cross a place which, according to our human eyes, looks anything like a victory. It's there that he declares, it's finished. It's done. I've accomplished it all. It's when the angel proclaims from that empty tomb on Easter morning, he is not here, he is risen, just as he said, and everything has changed. It's when God says to you from the font, you're mine, I've chosen you, you are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. It's when he says to you from the altar, take and eat, this is my body, take and drink, this is my blood given for you for your forgiveness. These are all places where we know and hear that the victory over sin and death and darkness and Satan, it's all been defeated. Not because we can see it with our eyes, but because we hear it with our ears. So, dear baptized, your vocation is not to be outraged by sin. It's not to be surprised by sin, but rather to plead for the Lord's mercy in the midst of sin. And then to respond in reasoned love to your neighbor. To take up the full armor of God, not to run into battle uncertain about the outcome and convinced that you know what needs to be done, but rather to stand firm. So take up the belt of truth. Take up the breastplate of righteousness over your heart. Take on the shoes of readiness to proclaim the gospel when the opportunity arises. Take the shield of faith to deflect Satan's lies. Put on the helmet of salvation upon your head, which gives you wisdom and a worldview far better than Fox News or CNN. And finally, the one and only offensive piece of armament, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the sword which bypasses all flesh and blood and cuts right to the heart, double-edged and razor-sharp, God's word of law and gospel. A word which not even Satan and all of his host can snuff out. Your armor, you see, your protection is Christ himself. And so, ironically, you go forward by standing firm. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.